Hey, Mike.
Hey.
So we got some talking to do.
You do?
Yeah. We got some talking to do about Twitter, because there's several things going on with Twitter that, I love Twitter, but I've begun to really hate it.
Ooh.
I began to really not enjoy it at all, as a matter of fact.
What are you not enjoying, Pat? Break that down. Are you not enjoying the service, or are you not enjoying Twitter as a company?
I'm not enjoying Twitter as a company. The service is great. I love the service. I should qualify that. I think they should be charging people. I think we've talked about this before, but the thing with a free service is that if the service is free, then you're not their customer, and if you're not their customer, you're likely the product.
Yeah,
you're likely what they're selling, right? And that certainly is the case with Twitter.
Uh-huh.
But because of that mindset, because you are not the customer, because you are not paying, because you are the product, and that product they sell to, they sell the data to advertisers and to market researchers and to, increasingly to, to promoted tweets from companies, and it's increasingly they are monetizing that free data that every tweet you make supplies them with, but also they're beholden to their investors, and their investors I'm sure are starting to say, hey, this is great, you have all these users, where's the money?
Because, where's the return on the hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars?
Billions of dollars that they've invested, right? Because eventually they're going to have to pay that money back. That's the reason for the investment. And if they're not getting that money directly from their users, then their users must be the product that they're going to sell to get that money.
Mm-hmm.
And so increasingly they are making moves that are the moves of a company that really believes that. And the most recent one to me is someone who is very protective of their time and attention. Somebody who already gets way more email than they ever wish to get.
Uh-huh.
They recently have made a change that they are slowly, I don't know how slowly, but they are rolling out. So not everyone has this yet, but you soon will. Where anyone who retweets one of your tweets, at replies you, as well as DM, but the DM has been there for a while, they'll send you an email about that.
Yeah.
Hey, someone favorited your tweet. Hey, someone, sent you an at reply, and here it is. Hey, somebody retweeted what you just tweeted. And while, for a lot of people that won't be, all that bad, there are some of us, not to brag, but there are some of us who get a lot of people retweeting our stuff and a lot of at replies. And even if they do limit it to only people you follow, that's still a lot of at replies and a lot of retweets. Mm-hmm. That I walked, last night I was at an event for a few hours and came home and checked my email and found, 24 messages from Twitter, because they auto opt you into this. It's not like that you're warned. You're not giving any warning about this change. You're not giving any, hey, is this something that you want to do? It's not like you're a new user and they ask you this question at sign up. This is an auto opt-in thing, and mm-hmm. they are turning it on and auto opting people in as they do so.
Yeah.
It's egregious. It's absolutely, to me, it's an unacceptable waste of my time.
The only thing that I'm able to find from Twitter stating this is they tweeted, and they sent out a tweet yesterday, which would have been the 23rd as we're recording. And the tweet just says, starting today, we're rolling out an email notification that lets you know if someone you follow retweets or favorites one of your tweets. That's all it said. So the whole at reply business, I had not seen anything stating this up until I saw a tweet from Dave Kalo stating that he was getting emails for everyone that was at replying him.
Yeah.
Which is very peculiar. I mean, if you're going to do it, but tell people at least that you're going to do it. I mean, there's nothing on their blog even to state that they're enabling it. It's quite a big thing to enable.
Yeah.
But
thing to auto-opt in people to, because, I mean, quite frankly, you know, just about if you read anything on the net of the past 3 years about email, is that people feel overwhelmed by it, that they're overloaded by it, that they get too much of it, and that they are looking for ways to control it, and you know, and are tired of getting, you know, they buy a single thing from a company, and suddenly they're opted in to get, you know, spammed on a near twice daily basis with every single new sale, product, promotion, whatever that company has. And mm-hmm. It's like, you know, all these things I have to kind of unsubscribe. Well, here's yet another thing. I had to go and delete all of these messages out of my inbox and, you know, weed through my inbox, find them, delete them. And then I had to go on to Twitter, you know, Twitter's website, into my settings and log in, and had to find where this, you know, new notification policy was. Is under settings, it's under the notifications tab, by the way, and uncheck these things, turn them off. Mm-hmm. And in all fairness, when I tweeted about this and tweeted basically, you know, my only slightly veiled rage at such a thing, one of the people from Twitter, you know, reached out to me and said, well, you know, hey, we're rolling that out, and it doesn't really affect all of the, you know, most of our users that much, but, you know, it could affect some people kind of badly, I guess. And, you know, here's, you know, you can turn it off, you know, go to this link, and, you know, you can just uncheck these things. And, you know, I replied back that, oh, well, that's fine that you can turn it off, but it shouldn't have been turned on to begin with.
Mm.
I shouldn't have to turn it off. I should have to allow it to be turned on. That's the way this feature should have been implemented.
Yep.
It should have been an opt-in. Hey, we've got this great new way of keeping you up to date with the, you know, the Twitter is a community communication platform, and we believe in that community and believe in making the conversations that are relevant to you immediately available and accessible. And so starting today, we've got a new feature where you can see the at replies and favorites, you know, anytime the people you follow sends you a reply or favorites or retweets one of your tweets, and click this link, and you can turn on this great new feature.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, you're selling it as, like, you know, this is making Twitter even more Twitter, and it's great, and all you have to do is click this link to opt in. I mean, they could have sold it in a completely different way instead of auto-opting people in and forcing people to have to go in and turn it off.
And if you do want to turn it off, if you sign in on the website and go to your settings, it's under the notifications tab, and you can you can make a bunch of unchecking things. Let me share a couple of my thoughts on this if you're back.
Okay.
So first I'm thinking, why have them? When you've got push services, for example, like Boxcar and even the apps which will push automatically for you, like the official Twitter client will do push. And then I think that, well, maybe, the only people that would have some sort of push notification is a power user or a more savvy user. But then, and then I also thought, well, then maybe it's only them sort of users that would need them services anyway, because a power user of Twitter is more likely to get at replies than somebody who doesn't really bother the service too much. Mm-hmm. So then I thought, well, then, okay, it might make sense for a simple user to not do it because they won't get many emails, but then it's because maybe they don't get many at replies, so is it even worthwhile for them anyway?
Yeah.
But then I was thinking even more, now it could be, there are, you know, I think that the idea of retweeting and favoriting is not so bad. Especially if it's from someone you follow. Because I would, you know, if, let's say, for example, if you favorited one of my tweets. Again, I know Boxcard does this for me, but let's say it didn't. I would quite like to know that because I follow you. And if you think that something I've said is worthy of a favorite, then that's pretty cool. Because there's no easy way to see that, especially with retweets now, the new retweets thing. I mean, the actual apps and even on the website, it can be a bit difficult to try and work out who has retweeted something that you said. And Sammy had this the other week. She tweeted something out about a movie that we went to see called Attack the Block, which is probably, it's a British comedy. Mm-hmm. And she included one of the executive producers, Edgar Wright, who's a director. He directed Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz and Scott Pilgrim. And
oh, that's got to be a great film.
Yeah.
I got to go find it. Yeah. All right, go ahead.
And he retweeted her. But
yeah.
We didn't know.
Hmm.
And the only way that she found out was because she started getting all these at replies of really random people. And then I went into Tweetbot and saw went into the tweet and saw retweeted, and it said that it was from him. Now, if nobody had ever at replied her, she never would have got that amazing oh my god moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for someone that she absolutely idealizes, you know, that found the time to retweet something she said. So for something like that, it could be quite useful. But I think when you're breaking it down into at replies, I think that's just a bit stupid. I mean, I don't really understand why you would need to have an at reply emailed to you. It's not what they're for.
Yeah. Well, and I can certainly understand how it could be useful for some users. But I think of, like, think of someone like, Merlin Mann or John Gruber or
Lady Gaga. Arment
or Lady Gaga.
Crossed 10 million followers.
Right, exactly. Can you imagine? Now,
Gmail could explode.
I can't imagine. You know. That someone like a Lady Gaga or Oprah or, you know what I mean? You know they're not auto-opting them in.
Oh, of course they're not. Something would explode somewhere.
Right, exactly.
Whether it be a Twitter server or like the Gmail server, something wouldn't be able to cope with that.
Somewhere. Exactly. Yeah, you know they're not, right? This is just for regular users, right? You know that any verified account does not have this stuff auto-opted in. You know what I mean? I don't know. I could be wrong, and if any of people of that level are listening, feel free to prove me wrong.
Yeah.
We'll find out, won't we?
We're going to find out.
We'd find out, because I'll tell you, the amount of at replies that someone like a Lady Gaga would get, or Oprah, or, I mean, it'd be insane. I mean, their email box would just, I mean, you're right, it would get flooded. But even someone who's not necessarily at that level, but you know, gets a lot of at replies, like I said, like Merlin or Gruber or, any of these, well-known quote unquote internet celebrities. I mean, can you imagine being auto-opted into that stuff? Forget about it. You know what I mean?
That'd be crazy. Quick count on Lady Gaga's at replies. She's had 28 in the last minute.
My point, exactly.
So can you imagine? I mean, it looks like there's even more the minute before that.
Okay.
Looking at like maybe 50 or 60.
Yeah.
Like, so you're looking at probably in 5 minutes, maybe 300.
Yeah.
You know?
And
she probably hasn't even tweeted anything. No, she hasn't tweeted anything since yesterday. So can you imagine what it's like after she tweets something?
Yeah, exactly. And that's my point exactly. So, not to beat this dead horse, but, that's just one of the many examples of late that, are kind of making me go, oh, okay, Twitter's finally they're flipping the switch and really, really moving from, hey, this great free, service that everyone uses to, oh my gosh, we got to figure out a way to get people to share more so we can monetize it, so we can make money. We also need to start doing everything we can to frustrate third-party clients to the point where they stop making third-party clients, or we just got to, the big ones, we've just got to buy them.
And just
bought TweetDeck for $40 million in
cash. There's more to this story than I think a lot of people. A lot of people are just glossing over this a bit. There is more to this story than there was to some of the other acquisitions that they've made. The worry was that Uber Media was going to buy up TweetDeck and take another massive slice of the user base.
Okay.
And they were concerned that having one company control so much of the user base, because Uber Media owns a bunch of other apps. They own Uber Twitter, Twidroid. I don't know if they own any other iOS apps. Off the top of my head, I can't think of any. But they were in the bidding for TweetDeck also, and TweetDeck has quite a large percentage.
Of the
third party app market.
Yeah.
Also, as well, there isn't a official Twitter for Windows app. And people are thinking this might be the start of it. Although TweetDeck is written in Air, and I can't see them keeping it in Air. So I don't know. Maybe they just want this for the talent. I don't know what it's going to be. I hope that it will be. We've spoken about this before, like, you know, how we thought there should be a Twitter Pro. This might be the start of that, because TweetDeck is a more advanced application. I mean, for me, it's just not up for it. But I can see why some people do use it and think that it's a good service. But I think there's more to the TweetDeck than just they're buying it because they want to buy all the third-party clients that they deem to be useful. I don't think they would have bought this if they didn't have this competition problem.
Yeah.
Because as well, Uber Media, there's rumours that they're going to try and make a Twitter clone. Well, you know, I'm sure it's useless, but if you can afford to stop anything like that happening, then I guess just do it.
All right. I think while, you know, certainly I can appreciate that angle, who knows what Twitter is up to. I also know, you know, that it's kind of been well established over the past several weeks that they are increasingly making it more difficult for third-party developer access to their service, while at the same time not making it as difficult for their official clients.
Right? Yeah. No. Yes.
And in this particular case that comes to mind is their recent change to API access to direct messages. That basically they're changing from, you know, XAuth to OAuth, which basically means that instead of just being able to, like you can now with third-party clients, it pops up a window within the client, and you put in your username and your password, and you have access to your tweets, your replies, as well as your DMs. Now, in order to have access to DMs, those third-party clients are going to have to implement a way to redirect you to a browser that goes to your Twitter.com account, where you log in there and authorize at that point access to your direct messages to this third party client.
Yeah. Now you only need to do this the once.
You only need to do it the once, but it takes what is a one step process, you know, or two-step, put in your name and password and hit enter, to a several-step process if you want to be able to have access to your DMs in a third-party client.
Yeah. I agree, and it's cumbersome, but I can kind of see... Well, and it
comes after other things. I didn't mean to talk over it, but I want to point out that it comes after other changes that they have made to stifle third-party developers. Go ahead. Sorry.
So I've got a couple of thoughts on this. One, I kind of... Where I agree that, well, I don't think it would have been as bad if they would have come out initially and said you've got a month, as opposed to, because initially they said you've got 2 weeks to sort this, and then they changed it to a month. And I think if they would have come out and said you've got a month, then people can be a bit like, yeah, okay, fine. I'm not happy about this, but I'll deal with it. Because, you know, a lot of third-party app developers are going to have to rewrite some code to put this in and to try and do their best with it. also as well, you got app approval times and stuff like that. So it was bad on Twitter's side for making it such a short time frame. They could even do it for 2 months. But I understand maybe a little bit what they're trying to say. It does add a level of security that maybe you should, because your average user is signing into Tweetbot and they're saying, yeah, go for it. But then they're having private conversations in their DMs that they might not necessarily want to just give access to whomever. You know, I'm sure that the guys over in these developing houses can't get access to the data. I don't understand that much. I'm going to have to hold up my hands there. I don't know. But I'm sure there's a reason for security purposes that it makes sense to do it. But there's a couple of points. I want to talk about something Marco Arment said. I think he very rightly put that people are saying third-party clients made Twitter what it is. And he said, okay, you know, thanks, you know, we understand that. That makes perfect sense. He's saying, yeah, I understand what everyone's saying when they say that. But in the same vein, Twitter as a service has made these developers money. They have been able to make applications on the back of this service and make money for selling their apps, which I think is a very valid point, which I've never really heard anyone say before, so I thought that was a good point. but everyone says all the time, you know, third-party apps made Twitter what it is. But yeah, and now people have been able to make from it.
Right. Fair enough.
I do have one more point, which has gone out of my head.
Sorry.
That's okay. That's my own fault for getting quite worked up about it. I will come back to it, Pat, when I think of it.
All right. Fair enough. And I appreciate the fact you're kind of taking a devil's advocate approach to this. You know, we are kind of getting long on time for our usual stuff, but I don't want to go past time without at least bringing up the recent changes, for instance, at TwitPic, and recent changes to their stuff. So TwitPic, which is, you know, arguably, you know, the most popular of the, you know, kind of Twitter connected up photo and video uploading. So I think they do videos too, right? But the
TwitVid, but it's the same company, I think.
Same company, right? Well, about a week or so back, there was a much uproar across the Twitter when TwitPic, by what they're saying, uploaded an old licensing agreement to their website, which basically said that they had rights to everything that got uploaded. From the moment it was uploaded, it officially became their property. They could do whatever they want with it. And, you know, Twitter blew up with this, and everyone was going, oh my gosh, you got to look at, no, I'm not using TwitPic ever again. And then, you know, within moments, you know, TwitPic caught wind of it and said, oh no, this was a mistake. This wasn't supposed to be posted. You know, it's an old terms of service. We're sorry about the confusion. You know, you can be, you know, your pictures are, don't worry, they're yours, you know, all this other stuff, right? So they backtracked, right? You know, set people a little bit more at ease. Like, oh, okay, I could see, yeah, I could see how, you check in wrong to Git, and all of a sudden you have a new EOLA on your website. You know, I can see how that could happen, right? Or your, you know, CMS of choice. But then, just today, it was announced that they have partnered with this third party stock image service to sell any of the images that you, the ones you own, the one that TwitPic, you know, said, no, these are yours, the ones you own, to be able to sell them as stock images.
Yep.
And there's nothing you can do about it. Which leads me to believe, oh, they really did mean to post that old EULA.
Yeah.
They really did mean that stuff. They just did it a little bit too early.
Yeah.
They did it a week too soon. And had to backtrack for PR purposes, because now, apparently, the new end user license agreement gives them the rights to sell your picture and profit from your work with no money to you.
And apparently, it says that any commercial use of a TwitPic photo, the company that has the exclusive rights can take you to court over using it.
Despite the fact that it might be your photo.
Yeah.
So, once again, I can't urge people enough to pay attention to this stuff. And you may want to consider, especially if you've got family photos that you posted to TwitPic, or even worse, things that you don't necessarily want everyone to see. Why you'd post that to TwitPic, I don't know.
you can never account for some people.
Go delete that stuff. Seriously. It's a tedious process. I have over 250 photos on TwitPic, and I've managed to delete 50 so far. But by the end of the day, I hope to have everything deleted, and then we'll shut down my account there. But of course, be warned that just canceling the account doesn't delete your stuff.
No, because they've still got URLs which are identifiable.
Yeah, see, so all it does is basically make it so that people can't search for you by name and come up with your stuff, but all of those URLs still work and all of those pictures are still there unless you delete them. And the only way to do that, at least I've found so far, is to do that one by one. So
yeah.
You click the little trash can button, pops a little confirmation dialogue, you say, yes, I'm sure, and then you have to go to the next one, and you have to do that, in my case, 250 times.
Good times.
Yeah. Yeah, it's bad. It's just... it's so frustrating because, I guess this goes to show that if you put it out there on the internet, the chances are you don't own it anymore.
Uh-huh.
Anyone can take it and do anything that they want, and there's very little you can do about it. And especially with some of these, services where we're on there sharing intimate details about our lives, that, from the moment that you start using Twitter in that first week, you could probably, I guess the takeaway from this is that within a week's time, they have enough data that they could seriously monetize and sell to advertisers, and it would be like gold, right?
Yep.
They know where you are. With the location stuff, they know your travels. They know, where you're visiting, when you're going out to eat. They can easily put that stuff on a map and go, oh, here's a person that goes to Chipotle three times a day. Maybe they, we want to let our friends at Qdoba's Mexican Bistro or whatever. its competitor is called, know that so they can specifically start targeting, that person with ads, right? Don't think for a second that they can't and won't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because they will, and they have the ability and the permission, your permission, to do so. How do they have your permission? Well, you signed up for an account.
Yep.
And they've changed the end user license agreement five ways from Sunday since you did that. So even if you did, read it when you signed up and said, okay, what they're doing is okay with me, they can change it any time after that, which they commonly do, and not even tell you.
Uh-huh.
That's what TwitPic just did.
Exactly. You got to be careful.
You really do. And just kind of mindful of this stuff. Follow the money.
I thought of my thing that I forgot.
Okay, go for it.
So there was one other complaint that people were making about the OAuth thing, and these things in general, saying that why don't these rules apply to the Twitter apps, the official apps? And it's because they are the apps. I mean, they are the service, which is what a lot of the guys at Twitter were saying in argument to this. And I understand that. They are Twitter. the Twitter apps are Twitter. So they shouldn't, in my opinion, I don't think they should have to jump through all the same hoops. They are not a third party. No data is being gone through, is touching a third party, because when you accept Twitter's terms and conditions, you are accepting what Twitter can and can't see and what they can and can't do, as we've just been talking about.
Yeah.
So, you know, users, if they have a problem with that, need to read the EULA. But I don't necessarily see that the Twitter app should have to jump through the same hoops as the third-party developers. Not that I'm saying I feel that third-party developers shouldn't have to jump through the hoops. It does suck. You know, I want you all guys to know that I think it does suck that you have to do it, that you have to go through all this OAuth stuff. But I just hope that you're all able to get through it, come through the other end, and still make a ton of money. Tweet what for the win.
All right. Well, yeah. I appreciate your take on it.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of advocate. Devil's advocate's always good.
Yeah, well, and you know, something that when I'm in the thick of my anger about these things, I'm not thinking about the other possible anglers. So no. I'm thinking about the things that, you know, that affect me and the way that it affects me, you know, which is natural. So
exactly.
So I appreciate hearing the some other ideas and points of views, but. Unfortunately, you know, we're never going to be big enough to actually have someone from Twitter on to explain themselves.
But if you'd like to, feel free.
But if you're listening and you wanna come on, I'm more than ready to listen as to why you thought that this was a wise move, or that any of these moves are wise. They're certainly not user centric. But all right, well, I think we've talk this one to death.
Yeah.
Gone much longer than we normally do, so we should end it there.
We should.
Yeah. That's all right. We'll talk later.
We will, mate. Thank you.
All right.
Cheers.
Take care. Cheers.